The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
We're going to talk about something that's coming up in the news a lot, and I think we're going to see a lot more of it. And this is something that we need to be prepared about it and prepared for it. So I want to welcome our podcast audience. I want to welcome our YouTube audience, and I want to welcome our Facebook Live audience. Again, if this is your first time joining us, please let us know where you're from and that you are new so we can acknowledge that you are new to the broadcast. We appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. Again, this is End Time Headlines. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And tonight, are we headed for a global food shortage? That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And in this segment is, again, are we headed for a global food shortage? So I want to give you some headlines here today. We're going to talk about this. The coronavirus continues to rage, affecting all parts of businesses, industries, retail, and of course, the food industry. Tyson Foods, which is the second largest meat producing corporation in the world, recently came out and gave a very ominous warning to Americans. They ran a full-page letter in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and Arkansas Democrat Gazette on this past Sunday to warn of a coming food shortage that they claim that is, quote, likely to strike your local grocery store in the coming weeks. The founder of this, the chairman of Tyson Foods wrote, quote, as pork, beef, and chicken plants are being forced to close, even for short periods of time, millions of pounds of meat will disappear from the supply chain. Again, Tyson Foods is the second largest meat producing corporation in the world. And again, they're warning that this food shortage is coming. Quote, as a result, there will be limited supply of our products available and grocery stores. So again, this is the second largest meat producing corporation in the world that's coming out with this warning. We just posted an article just probably within the hour, about hundreds of thousands of pigs. I think it was approximately 200,000 pigs that are being slaughtered, as a result of this, as the coronavirus is shutting down plants, the demand is so low because restaurants aren't able to open up. They're not at full capacity. And many of these are being slaughtered. They're being destroyed. So they're not able to distribute. Gallons and gallons and gallons of milk that was just poured out, eggs being wasted. And again, poultry, even fish is impacted by this. Because numerous food processing centers are being forced to close due to COVID-19, farmers are unable to sell their normal lot of livestock, forcing them to, quote, depopulate millions of animals. This was from chairman of Tyson Foods, John Tyson, meaning that the animals are being killed and not processed for food. So the picture that you're seeing right here on the screen, this could be the new normal in within 2 weeks. I know not everybody's like me or my family, but I know I'm going to be honest with you guys. Before this virus ever hit, we didn't eat as much meat. In fact, I don't eat any red meat. I don't eat any pork. That's just my personal preference. It is not because of my religion, because I'm not Jewish and I'm not Muslim. I just choose not to eat pork, me personally, because of health reasons. And I don't eat red meat for the same reason, because I don't eat red meat. Now, do I like hamburger? Yes. Do I like steak? Yes. But it don't like me. So I'm just telling you for me. But I do like chicken. I do like turkey. I do like fish, salmon, tuna fish, just different types of fish. But again, as my family, we don't eat meat every meal. So for us, and before this virus broke out, we didn't eat hardly any meat. We were more of a predominantly plant-based diet. That's what we consumed. But since this has happened, I'm just going to be honest with you. I've eaten more chicken and turkey and fish since this has happened before than I ever did before, just because of the convenience. You know, I mean, come on, you got kids, you know, my kids love Chick-fil-A. They like chicken sandwiches. They like chicken nuggets. It's just more the convenience factor of that, the takeout factor and all that. So that just kind of plays in. But again, for you people, you know, for a lot of you guys that rely on, you know, if meat is one of your staples of your food and your diet, then be prepared for empty shelves, according to a lot of these forecasts. In addition to meat shortages, this is a serious food waste issue. The food supply chain is breaking, according to Tyson. Every major meat processing company, Tyson Foods, Smithfield Foods, JBS, and Cargill, has been hit by the coronavirus. This is a report, according to the Associated Press. The Department of Agriculture, meanwhile, told Time magazine that the government is working to, quote, ensure that the food supply chain remains safe and secure. However, Tyson was not the only top executive to warn of coming food shortages. Earlier this month, Smithfield Foods CEO Kenneth Sullivan came out and warned that the COVID-19 outbreak is, quote, pushing our country perilously to the edge in terms of our meat supply. So again, we're seeing this happening. I want to give you the chief, this was a very interesting piece that came out and multiple sources picked it up. And I don't know if you saw this, but I believe we talked about this on another segment, but the chief of the United Nations Food Relief Agency has just came out recently and warned that the world is facing a widespread famine. So this is not just the United States we're talking about here, but he says that the world is facing a widespread famine of biblical proportions. And because he made this statement, it got the attention not only of Christians because of the verbiage here, but this got the attention of many individuals when he came out and said this. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, and the humanity has but a short time to act before, again, I quote, hundreds of millions starve. There was another piece, according to The Guardian, there was a piece that came out. It said, according to the report from The Guardian, more than 30 countries could experience widespread famine. And in those countries, there is already more than 1 million people on the brink of starvation. And again, this is why I believe that John Tyson, again, the chairman of Tyson Foods, this is why I believe he came out and he warned that the food supply chain is breaking and vulnerable, not just because of what he was experiencing personally with his company or with these other companies like Smithfield, JBS, and Cargill, but I think he's looking at the whole picture, even outside of the shores of the United States, when he made that statement that the food supply chain is breaking and vulnerable. So again, according to David Beasley, the executive director of the World Food Program, millions could be on the brink of starvation. This is This is very alarming news. And then there was another report that came out that dealt with India. Millions, listen to this, quote, millions of Indians who have been without food for weeks already are facing hunger as the country battles the coronavirus outbreak. The most vulnerable are daily wage earners, contract workers, and migrant laborers who have been without food and earnings since the country was shut down on the 25th of March. Quote, we're not talking about, and again, it goes back to, I want to give you this quote from David Beasley, the executive director of the World Food Program. He warns that, quote, we're putting all this together is what we're doing tonight. We're not talking about, he goes on to say, we're not talking about people that's going to be hungry, he told The Guardian. He said that, quote, we're talking about extreme conditions, emergency status, people literally marching to the brink of starvation. Quote, if we don't get food to people, people will die. As the coronavirus continues to spread around the globe, the fragile healthcare systems of scores of these developing countries will be unable to cope. The economic disaster following in the wake of the pandemic will lead to huge strain on resources. Quote, this is truly more than just a pandemic. It is creating a hunger pandemic, according to Beasley. This is a humanitarian and food catastrophe. Again, Beasley recently took this ominous warning directly to the United Nations Security Council and warned that the world leaders should act swiftly in a fast deteriorating situation. And then, of course, to add more misery to this, it's already taking place. And we've talked about this in other segments as well, but you also have this locust situation that, according to the experts that are keeping up with this and watching this, they are warning now that this locust situation is about to get 20 times worse than it was in the spring. And we're talking about East Africa. We're talking about that was hit the worst in decades. We're talking about 70 million people at risk. So here you have this, the food distribution problems. You have the food being destroyed, the waste, the workers coming down with the virus. They're shutting down plants. You couple all this together. We have what I believe is the making of another major famine, not just here in the States of America, but we're talking about global. And again, this, we're talking about a widespread famine of, again, and I have to agree with what he said, biblical proportions. Now I want to show you something. I pulled this up today. I got about 10, 15 more minutes on this segment. We're going to close it out. We're not going to go long tonight, but I want to show you 13 major famines in the Bible. These are all in the Bible. I'm going to pull this up. You're going to see this up here on your screen. This is 13 major famines that are mentioned in the Bible from Genesis, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, in Abraham's day, there was the famine in Canaan. Genesis 26, verse 1, there was a famine in Isaac's day in Canaan. And then there was another famine in Canaan. And this was found in Genesis 41, 54 through 57, that was found in Jacob's day. And then, yet again in Canaan, during the time of the judges, you can find this in Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. And then in David's day, in 2 Samuel 21, 1. In Elijah's day, 1 Kings 17, 1. And then Elisha in 2 Kings 4, 38. And 2 Kings 6:25 and 2 Kings 8:1 all mention famine. And then in Zedekiah's day in Jerusalem, 2 Kings 25 and 3 and Jeremiah 14 talks about this. And in Nehemiah's day, in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 3 in Canaan, in Luke 15, 14, it's known as the unknown land. There was a famine. And then in the Roman, in the time of the Apostle Paul, and during the reign of the Roman Empire, in Acts 11, verse 28, it mentions a famine. So, but I went, I want to talk about something interesting. When we hear about famine, we don't really get an idea of how detailed it is. So I did a little bit of research, some digging from historical accounts like Josephus, who wrote the Antiquities of the Jews. He wrote the War of the Jews. He wrote many books, and these were historical accounts. He talks about the invasion of the Roman Empire. He gives detailed descriptions of this, and there's other things that he talks about in detail. And you can also find other historical writings that give you even further detail. For example, the consequences of the 7-year famine that was predicted by Elisha in 2 Kings 8:1. It went through this famine. When it first started out, it wasn't as severe, but it went through the first year, the second year, the third year, the fourth year, the fifth year, the sixth year, and the seventh year. When it got to the fourth year of the famine, that's when things got really bad. In fact, in the fourth year of this famine that you can find in 2 Kings 8, in the fourth year of this famine, people were reduced to eating unclean animals. Now you say, well, what's the big deal? Well, again, we're Americans, we're Gentiles. But for Jews, devout Jews, this was unheard of. Remember in Acts chapter 10, when Peter was on the housetop of Joppa, and he was about to eat. I believe he was fasting, from when I've studied it. And he received a vision. And in this vision, he saw a sheet come down out of heaven that had all kinds of animals on this sheet that were considered by all means by Jews to be unclean animals. And when he saw the sheet, he heard the voice of the Lord, and he told him to arise and eat. And he questioned the dream. And I don't want to get into details about what the dream actually meant, but it really wasn't about eating unclean animals. The truth of it is, and I don't have time, it'd take 20 minutes to develop that message, but I could prove to you the whole vision was for him to be, that God was calling him to go and preach to the Gentiles, which were considered to be unclean. But nevertheless, again, the point I'm trying to make is the Jews understood these animals that were unclean. And you can find this is all the Levitical dietary laws. The pigs, the fish that had no scales, they were considered to be unclean. Rats, lobsters, crawfish, these type of animals that were unclean and they were not fit to eat. But this famine was so bad in the fourth year out of 2 Kings 8 that in the fourth year, the Jewish people began to violate their own customs and their own faith and their commandments by eating unclean animals. Then in the fifth year, they began to eat even reptiles and insects because there was nothing left to eat. And as horrific as this sounds, I hate to even say this, but in the sixth year of the famine, their children were even being eaten by some. I know that's hard to hear this, but we don't understand this. We don't comprehend this. We can't relate to this. We've never seen anything like this in the United States of America. All right? In the seventh year, many resorted to cannibalism and began to eat their own flesh. In fact, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25, listen to this. This is what it says. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and indeed they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cob of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Now, what in the world? Why would somebody want to buy donkey heads and dove dung? Because they were eating it. The famine was so bad in Samaria that this was a delicacy. They were purchasing donkey heads and dove dung to eat because there was nothing to eat. That's how bad the famine got. And then, according to Josephus, when the Babylonians besieged Jerusalem and they went into captivity, there was a famine. The famine occurred as a result of this. And Josephus mentions in his account the eating of children. There was children being eaten then. They were boiled. And I could go into detail, and that's probably a lot of detail there, but I could go into much more detail, but I don't want to talk about that because it gets very graphic. But they were even boiling their own shoe leather and eating shoe leather. Again, I got two of these mixes. There was a Babylonian invasion, and then there was the Roman invasion. During the Roman invasion, again, the shoe leather was being boiled to eating it. And again, there was some horrific. I encourage you to go look up the writings of Josephus when he talks about these details of this, and you would be shocked if you've never heard this. So what are we talking about tonight? I'm talking about, we got a lot to pray about. Do I believe that we're on a verge of something in that severity? No, not right now. I don't believe that'll happen now, but according to the book of Revelation, there's a horse, a black horse and rider that's coming, according to the book of Revelation, and this rider will have a pair of scales on his hand, in his hand, and it tells you in there that a loaf of bread will cost you a whole day's wages. That's how bad inflation will be, food shortages will be, famine will be. We know, according to the book of Revelation, there is coming a drought that will happen that will dry up the river Euphrates. And we know that that happens in the middle of the tribulation because the Bible mentions that 200,000 men, a 200,000 men army called the Kings of the East will come, and they will attack the Antichrist because he's taken over Jerusalem and he's invaded the temple, and 200,000 man army called the Kings of the East, they will make their way and they will actually march over the Euphrates River that is normally a flowing river that will be dried up from a drought and no doubt a famine that will strike the Middle East. So here's what we're talking about tonight. We're seeing earthquakes in various places. We're seeing pestilences. This coronavirus is continuing to ravage and causing the effects. But now we could be, because of the effect of this coronavirus and plagues, locust. So you have a plague, you have a pestilence. The combination of these two events could produce now what the Bible warns about in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, what's called famines or famine in the last days. And again, this is just another thing that the Lord Jesus Christ warned that would be one of the signs of the coming of the Lord. So here's the exciting part. You say, well, what's exciting about that? Nothing if you're on the wrong side of the tracks. There's nothing excited about that. But if you're on the right side of the track, if you're serving the Master, your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're born again, you're under the blood of Jesus. Luke chapter 21, verse 28 said, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, he said, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Remember that? He also said this. He said, when you begin to see all these things, the generation that sees all these things taking place. Because one of the arguments is, we've gotten this argument so many times. People will argue with you, there's always been earthquakes, there's always been famines, there's always been pestilence, there's always been plagues, there's always been disasters. Yes, they come and they go throughout history. But Jesus said, the generation that's alive and sees the combination of all these things happening simultaneously together and increasing in intensity and severity and number. He says the generation that's alive on the earth that sees these things happening, that are alive when that day's happening, he said that will be the generation that will see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when somebody asked me, well, Brother Ricky, do you think we're close to the end of the age? Not the end of the world, the end of the age, meaning that one age will come to a close and another will come to a beginning. Yes, I believe, and of all generations that's been out there, I believe if you're alive and well and breathing and living, you have a pulse, you have a heartbeat, you're listening to this message, you're watching this message, I believe that you and I, this generation, I believe, is seeing all these things coming to pass. And that's why I said, if there's any good news, if there's any silver lining, that's it. It's because we have a blessed hope that he said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. So friends, before we close this message tonight, I want to give you a personal invitation from the bottom of my heart. I want to invite you to know the Master, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah. His name is Jesus Christ. There is no other. Jesus himself said that there is no other name. There is no other name given under heaven to men in which we must be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come. No man can get to the Father lest he come through me. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the keeper of the gate, of the sheep gate. If any man tries to come in any other way, if he tries to climb over, if he tries to go around, he's but a thief and a robber. And he said that many has tried to come. He said, but you have to go through the door of the gate. Who is that? Jesus. That's it, friend. You say, well, that sounds so simple. It sounds too easy. It sounds too simple. That's exactly right, my friend. Listen, I want to talk to you from my heart right now. I'm going to tell you my, and I'm still serious. This is still going right in with this. I'm trying to shift in gears, but we're keeping this theme. There is a Bible series right now. And listen to me when I say this, I'm just being real and raw. I've seen a lot of Christian series out there, and people's like, oh, brother, you got to see this and that. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like most of them. They're cheesy. They're boring to me. They don't catch my attention. And the same thing happened recently. Somebody said, you need to watch this new series out, and you can watch, it's free. You can watch it on YouTube. You can download the app. You can watch it on PureFlix. And I said, okay, what is it? And they said, it's called The Chosen. And I said, all right. So I started watching it. That was a few nights ago. I watched one episode, was hooked. I watched three episodes in one night. And I'm telling you, every single episode, I was in tears. I didn't have a dry eye in any episode. And here's the thing. And I'm just being, listen, I don't have a dog in the fight. I don't work for anybody with them. They have not paid me to promote them. I'm just being bluntly honest. It's not even a Hollywood. It's a Hollywood quality, but it's not Hollywood producted. In other words, it don't have all the goofy stuff in it. Like, you remember that movie Noah that came out that Hollywood produced? And it was terrible. It was so biblically inaccurate and false. It was, that thing wasn't worth, I wanted to take that disc out and just play Frisbee with the dog out in the backyard. It was garbage. Just throw it in the garbage. But this is not the case. Again, every episode, first episode was awesome. The next episode was better, and it just keeps getting better and better and better. And tonight, I'm going to watch the last episode of the whole first season. I can't wait to watch the second season. But there was an episode, and I don't want to ruin it for everybody, but I just want to tell you this one little part because it ties in with this part right here that we're going to close with. In the beginning of the episode, when every time it starts out, in the beginning, they show things of the past for a brief moment, and then they go to the present tense of that day. So in the beginning of one of these episodes, they showed a clip, and it was Moses talking to Joshua. And Moses was creating he was obeying the Lord, whether he made the brazen serpent to put on the pole, and when the Israelites were commanded to look upon the brazen serpent, that they would be healed. And in this episode, Joshua and Moses kind of got into it because Joshua was like, this is idolatry. And Moses had to rebuke him and say, listen, when I hear from God and he tells me to do something, I have to be obedient. So this was powerful. And then later on, Jesus begins to talk to Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? He was one of the chief rabbis. He was the chief rabbi of his day. I don't want to ruin it for you. You got to see it, but it is so powerful. But they have this conversation in the stealth of the night. And in this conversation, Nicodemus is hungry for truth. He's willing to come out of the box of tradition and religion because he wants more of God and he wants the truth and he doesn't want to miss the Messiah if the Messiah is there. So they get in this conversation and Jesus begins to explain to Nicodemus the understanding or the deeper understanding of what it means to be born again. And so when he was speaking to Nicodemus, he began to use and point to a reference that Nicodemus was familiar with, and he talked about the serpent on the pole. And when they raised up the pole, the serpent on the pole, the Israelites looked unto it, and they were healed. And Nicodemus says, oh, yes, I'm very familiar with that. He said, that was a type and shadow. He said, but the hour and day is coming when the Son of Man will be lifted up. Just like the brazen serpent on the pole, the Son of Man will be lifted up. And all those that look upon the cross and they believe unto him who is lifted up, they will be saved. So that's what I want to tell you tonight. You say, well, this message of the gospel sounds too simple, because it is that simple. Jesus said, lest you have the understanding of a child, lest you be converted into a child, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the gospel is in such simplicity that even a 10-year-old can get it. Even a 7-year-old can understand it. It is not complex. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But do you know what he said after that? He said, for God did not send his Son into the world that he may condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Now, I told you, in the Old Testament, there was a brazen serpent on a pole that was lifted up. So it was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. It would be raised up on the cross at Calvary. And this is what Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So tonight, we're not going to lift up my name. We're not going to lift up ETH. We're not going to lift up any ministry tonight. We're going to lift up the name that is above every name. The name, come on, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus. So right now, my friends, wherever you're at, if you're watching this, you're backslid or you've never given your heart to Christ, we lift him up tonight. And I believe the Bible says when he be lifted up, he will draw all men into him. Because you're listening tonight and you're watching and we're lifting up the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God is going right into your living room, right into your office, right into your kitchen, right into your automobile, right where you're at. And he's drawing you to Calvary. He's drawing you to the cross. He's drawing you to himself. And you say, what do I do? He calls men everywhere to repent. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And you say, how do I do that? Listen, why don't you just pray with me tonight? I normally don't do this. You guys know that. I normally don't recite a prayer and you pray after me. But sometimes things change based upon how I feel with the way the broadcast is going. So I want you to lay your hand right here on your heart. If you can't do that, I just want you to agree with me tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask that you'd forgive me. Forgive me of doing things my own way. Forgive me for thinking that I'm in control. I put my trust and my faith in you and what you did for me. Jesus, I believe that you died for me and you rose again and you're seated at the right hand of the Father and you're making intercession for me. Jesus, I ask that you would save me tonight, that you would wash me in your blood, and that you would live in my heart through the Holy Spirit, and that you would lead me, and that you would guide me, and that you would direct me from today to all the days of my life. Even when I slip and even when I fall, I thank you, Jesus, that your hand is there to pick me up and put me back on course. Jesus, I ask that you'd lead me to a church that I can be plugged in and be part of. Lead me to a group of friends that are on fire for you to teach me, to encourage me, to help me, to strengthen me. And Jesus, I thank you that my name is now in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Guys, it's that simple. If you prayed that prayer tonight, whether you be backslid, whether you never knew the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is your first time accepting him, we welcome you back or we welcome you to the family. Listen, I don't need anything from you. I'm not asking you for anything. I am welcoming you to the family of the kingdom of heaven. We're not asking you to email us, message us, or do anything like that. You don't have to do any of that. You just give the Lord a big praise clap, a hand clap, a thank you, Jesus. Because listen, some of you, I'll never see you on this side of heaven. But one day, when I step through that gate, and you step through that gate, I believe we're going to know each other. You're going to know me. I'm going to know you. And you're going to have a story to tell. Come on, somebody. I believe that with all my heart. So endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, that's where you're going to find us. Again, want to give you a couple quick announcements here. This little image here that you're going to see pop up here on your screen. I know you guys on podcast can't see this, but you guys on Facebook and YouTube, we want to encourage you to subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on Apple. You can find us on Spotify. It is absolutely free. You don't have to pay anything. Again, if you go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, you also see a place up there at the top of the tab where you can click on there and get our podcast again for free as well. Also, if you've not downloaded our official ETH app, what are you waiting for? It's free. It's on Android. It's on Apple. It's free. Did I mention it's free? You know, again, You give stuff. I mean, I go to Sam's or Costco, you know, everybody's lined up to get something free there. They're giving out free samples. So get your, get the app on Google Play or get it on the App Store at Apple. And when you get that, it's, you're going to get all of our breaking notifications. You're going to get, you're going to get news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. You're going to get podcasts like this. You're going to get the YouTube channel. All that stuff's going to be right there on the phone, on a phone, on a tablet. It's going to be all there for your convenience. So we want to encourage you to do that. And again, if you've not partnered with our ministry, we want to give you an opportunity to either sell a one-time gift or to do a monthly partnership, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. Again, there's no condemnation, guys. We understand people are going through hardships, you know, and you'll never hear me do, there's preachers out there, and I'm not condemning a lot of them. Now, some of them are just flat out wrong, and there's manipulation involved. But, you know, there's ministers that sell merchandise, CDs, DVDs, books, et cetera, et cetera. And look, God bless them. I know, I understand they have to do that to maintain their ministry. That's why we do certain things that we do. That's why on our main website, we have ads on there, because that's one of the facets of the venue or the revenue that we have to be able to continue our ministry. So that's why there is some people complain about the ads. That's why they're there, to keep the operation going. Also with, again, your generous support, your offerings, your gifts, your partnership. That's how we're able to give you a free app that costs several thousands of dollars, several. And again, we don't condemn other ministries that charge for their apps. They have to do what they got to do to keep the ministry running. So I'm just, again, that's just telling you what we do. We're not going to, you'll never see us manipulate you. What do I mean by manipulate you? There was an article that came out not too long ago, and it talked about this preacher got up and he was basically trying to pressure people into sowing their stimulus checks into his ministry. We would never do that, ever. What we do is, I believe, listen, if the Holy Spirit can't speak to your heart and tell you to give or to sow or to give a generous offering, to give without grudgingly, listen, if the Holy Spirit can't talk to you, what am I going to do? I'm not going to do nothing. So we just let the Lord move, and this is my theory on this. I believe you're going to give and you're going to sow and you're going to support where you're fed and where you're blessed. I sow and I give. We give and we tithe to ministries that where we're fed, that are blessed, that are doing things, that are reaching people internationally, that are helping people, encouraging people, equipping people. That's what we do. And I believe that if we've been a blessing in your life, whether it's encouragement, whether it's information, transformation, whatever it is, we believe that that the Lord is going to put on the hearts who he has to support this ministry. And again, from the bottom of my heart and our ministry, We want to thank every one of you. You know who you are, all of our partners, those that give online, those that send checks, money orders, those that give us cards, birthday cards, thank you cards, holiday cards. You know who you are. And again, we greatly appreciate every one of you. And we love you guys. And thank you for your prayers and your support. So again, we're going to sign off for today. We're going to be off tomorrow, which will be Wednesday. So Thursday or Friday, I don't know yet. I'm still working on the message, so I'm hoping I'll get it all done by tomorrow and we can come back on and do it Thursday. But we've got our Mark of the Beast, our fourth and final message of the Revelation 13 series. We're going to do the Mark of the Beast out of Revelation 13. That'll either be Thursday afternoon or it will be Friday afternoon. I'll let you know more as that time comes. And if we get done with it, all the notes and the slides and the pictures and all that stuff, if we get done with that before Thursday, we'll just knock it out on Thursday. If not, we'll just go ahead and plan it for Friday. So, but nevertheless, we love you guys. God bless you. Have a good night. Be safe. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. And we will see you guys either on Thursday or on Friday. God.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.